Shadows of the Mind, Episode 8, Lacrimosa. Searching for answers about her role in the death of her creator, Damian Lawrence, Lila returned to LDE, where she encountered an android determined to silence her. She was injured and brought back to the home of Derek, Damian's brother, who has just begun to realize he may be in love with Lila. Damian's fiancée, Ravenna, is determined to find Lila and bring her to justice, even though Damian's siblings don't believe Lila is guilty.
Why do I feel like I've been run over? Lila stirred, moving her limbs one at a time to gauge what state her body was in, and finding that while she was sore essentially everywhere, nothing hurt more than her back. She reached for a shoulder blade through the shredded back of her shirt and winced when the contact stung. Does that feel healed? She trailed her fingertips over the area and bit her inner cheek against the pain. Just as she suspected, the wound no longer felt open. Her skin had sealed. It was raised where each cut had been, but she wasn't bleeding. Despite the pain coursing throughout her body, she processed that she was lying on something soft and comfortable. She opened her eyes to find herself back in Derek's bedroom. The plush comforter beneath her was blue and pulled up high enough to conceal the sheets from her view. How did I get here? Lila lifted her head from the pillow slowly and sat up, holding back a hiss as her body protested. Her muscles ached and the skin of her back felt too tight where it had been mended. Her gaze fell on a folded tan sweater lying beside her, and she traded a ripped shirt for it. Straightening the three-quarter sleeves of her sweater, she stood and made her way for the door opposite the bed. She opened the door to the living room, sifting through mental images of the android woman who had attacked her. The glass wall she'd gone through nearly falling from LDE's top floor. She remembered seeing Derek's face before collapsing in the elevator. He saved me.
You're awake.
At the sound of a loud clang, Lila shifted her focus to the kitchen, where Derek had evidently just dropped a plate. He sighed, and through the doorway, she watched him retrieve it from the floor, setting it on the counter before hurrying across the living room to Lila's side.
How are you feeling?
He asked. His sandy hair was tousled, and dark crescents lay beneath his eyes. Better? What happened?
Here, come sit down.
He guided her to the sofa, and when she sat at one end, he took the other. Did you seal the cuts? Lila asked, folding her hands in her lap. Derek nodded.
I'm sorry, I wanted to discuss it with you before I did anything, but I had no idea how long it would take for you to wake up, and you were losing so much blood. I didn't know if waiting any longer would be safe.
As he spoke, Lila watched his eyes. There was warmth in their blue depths even when he was sitting so far from her. It seemed as though he wanted to reach for her, but he only leaned forward a bit where he sat. It's okay, Lila said. Thank you. You didn't have to do that, you didn't... She recalled how desperate he'd been to stop her from leaving, and how frightened he'd looked as he'd hurtled toward her in the elevator.
I really don't think you could have done this,
he'd told her before she'd left.
Not to Damian.
Lila's eyes stung with tears. She lowered her face into her hand.
What's wrong?
At the sound of his concern, she could hold herself back no longer. She lifted her head and scooted closer to wrap her arms around him tightly. Thank you, she muttered. Thank you. He was still for a moment, and then he rested his hand against her back.
Do you remember anything?
He asked quietly.
Anything at all?
Bits and pieces. Lila released him and scooted back again, just enough to meet his eyes. I can't tell him I remember shooting Damian. I can't make this worse on him. Derek looked down at her hand. The span of a heartbeat passed, and then he took it and gave it a squeeze.
Anything you know would be helpful. I don't want you to hold back either, Lila. I don't want to believe that any of this is your fault. I can't believe that.
Lila rolled her shoulders backward and swallowed. I remember a dog. Derek raised a brow.
A dog?
Seymour. I remember Damian bringing him home. He blinked.
Why would you remember Seymour, of all things?
I'm sorry. I went to LDE because I was looking for answers about what happened to me and why I did...
Allegedly.
I needed to see what I could find. I went to your office, but I didn't know your password. When I saw the photo scroll with this picture, I just... remembered.
That's a good sign.
Derek nodded slowly.
Anything else?
What happened to him?
To Seymour? I took him after Mom and Dad died.
Derek shifted his gaze to the coffee table, though his eyes were unfocused, as though he wasn't really seeing it in front of him.
Damien had enough on his hands already with Desi. I thought adopting Seymour was the least I could do. I hadn't had a dog since we were kids. I mean, not one that was really mine in any way. I'd seen him when I visited, but that was it. He got sick last year. I keep his pictures at the office because it hurts too much to see him here. I still have his collar on my desk drawer.
Lila's mouth went dry. I'm sorry, she said. How much loss can one person handle?
Thank you.
Derek scratched at his jaw and blinked before looking back at Lila.
Is there anything else?
He needs to know. I can't hold anything back from him, not after everything he's risked for me. I remember standing in a lab. Damien was there and he was pleading with me. I can't remember everything he said, but I remember standing in front of the doors in the lobby holding a gun and he told me to remember who I am. I saw all the pictures of me standing with you and Damien and Eddie, and I know I couldn't have done anything to him on purpose. As she spoke, she watched his face fall. Pain crept across his features. I'm so sorry, Derek. I'm so sorry. Anything I can do to fix it, I will. I promise you.
I believe you.
He nodded stiffly and squeezed her hand once more before he stood.
I do.
With a half-hearted smile, he started back toward the kitchen. I'm going to make this right, Lila told herself, no matter what I have to do.
There's a hole in Derek's wall.
Not exactly, sir,
said Andrew's voice through the phone.
It's more like there is no wall. It's been smashed from the inside.
Eddie rubbed his temple and cast a glance toward Desi's bedroom door. Why is it that when the pieces finally start fitting together, something else always goes wrong?
Security footage suggests Lilo's here along with an unidentified android. I think you should take a look at it, sir. See what you want to do.
Inform the police, please, Andrew, said Eddie with a sigh. Let them sort it out. I'll be in tomorrow for the visitation, and I'll look at the damage then.
I'll call him now.
Thank you. Without another word, Eddie ended the call. He set his phone on the coffee table in front of Desi's sofa. No matter how he tried, he couldn't keep her out of his thoughts. Promise me that I'm not dreaming. When she laughed, her eyes seemed to sparkle in the light of the lamp on his nightstand. Her fingertips skimmed down his neck, and he shuddered so strongly beneath her touch that he felt heat rush to his cheeks. Desi paid it no mind, instead loosening his tie and slipping it off over his head. She let it slide from her grasp into the floor beside the bed.
I promise,
she said. With one hand at the back of his head, she pulled his face down to hers and kissed him fiercely. In front of him, the bedroom door opened, and he did his best not to allow himself to search out what lay beyond. He kept his focus on Desi, who had traded her dress for a pair of dark pants and a green shirt with half sleeves. Eddie glanced down at the suit he hadn't changed out of from their meal. I feel a bit overdressed, he said with a smile.
You know, I think... Hold on a second.
Desi turned on her heel and retreated to the bedroom, and she emerged a few moments later with a black t-shirt Eddie hadn't seen in weeks. How'd you get that? His mind swam with memories of the last time he'd worn it, and he tried unsuccessfully to push them from his thoughts. His green tie had been joined on the floor by the gray jacket he'd worn over his t-shirt. Derek had tried to talk him out of dressing up for their party celebrating the day of Lila's completion, but Eddie was a creature of habit. Since the founding of the company, he'd done everything in his power to ensure the world knew he deserved to stand beside the Lawrence brothers at LDE's helm. He hadn't been born into money as they had. Eddie's father had discovered oil in a long-dormant region of Illinois when Eddie had been a child, and despite his friends' assurances that they'd never cared about money or how it had come to him, he remained insecure. He was determined to always seem as put together as he could. No matter how much he'd wanted it, he hadn't dared to imagine Desi would be the one to turn his attempts worthless, to unravel him. His breathing had become shallow. She'd stolen it away, and he felt as though he would never fully regain it. Her hands slid slowly down his chest, and his skin burned beneath her touch even through the thin fabric of his shirt. He kissed slowly along her jaw and down her neck as his hands followed the curve of her waist. His pulse thrummed in his ears. As Desi dragged the hem of Eddie's shirt upward, he grudgingly pulled backward long enough to allow her to pull it off over his head and drop it over the edge of the bed. The instant the shirt was gone, he leaned in to close the distance between them and reclaim her lips. She tasted like strawberries.
It was with my things when I...
Desi didn't have to say the word for Eddie to hear it on the air, pressing down tightly enough to suffocate him. Left. Thank you, Eddie said quietly. Desi padded closer and sat at the center of the sofa beside him. She held out the shirt to him as she studied his face. He reached out for the garment, and his hand brushed hers, sending electrical impulses crackling up his arm. He rested the shirt on his knee.
I've been meaning to tell you.
Desi began. She drew in a long breath.
I'm sorry. I shouldn't have gone without saying goodbye. I shouldn't have left at all, not until we'd at least talked about what happened. I was just so angry with myself that I thought the best way to handle it was to get away, and I know that was wrong. I shouldn't have done that to you, and I'm so, so sorry, Eddie. You deserved more than that. More than me.
Eddie took her hand and traced its back with his thumb. There is no more than you. You're the only one who's ever made me feel like I couldn't survive without her. Desi's eyes swam with unshed tears, and she squeezed his hand tightly.
I don't deserve that,
she said.
Not after what I did.
You were scared. I understand that. The words tasted like acid in his mouth. He couldn't imagine why she'd been scared or whether it had been of him or of something else. And he didn't want to understand why she'd left while he'd still been asleep on that morning at the beginning of July. Or at least, she'd tried to. At the sound of footsteps and shuffling, he opened his eyes, squinting in the early morning light that the curtains didn't entirely shut out. She'd pulled on her dress, and when he sat up, she turned to face him. Her mouth hung open for a moment before she spoke.
I'm sorry, We can't do this.
Let it go, Eddie told himself. She said I love you back.
I shouldn't have been scared,
said Desi. She gave a quick shake of her head, and her dark blonde curls brushed her cheek.
So what if my brothers would have been angry? I didn't know for sure if they would, and I shouldn't have done that to you. I didn't want to ruin things between us either because of it, and—
Eddie leaned close and pressed his lips to hers at the same moment he entwined his fingers with those of the hand he still held. He gently laid his other hand against the back of her head as he poured everything into the kiss that he had needed her to know for longer than he could recall. You didn't ruin anything, he muttered before kissing her deeper, harder. He allowed himself to forget everything but her.
A flash of yellow on the sidewalk in front of Ravenna sent a rush of fire through her veins. She couldn't make out anything other than the golden hair poking out above the knot of people moving through the early morning haze, but she had to trust her instincts. I never should have let Damien convince me to stop. If I wasn't so rusty, I would have caught her already. Ravenna slipped past a woman in a green blazer who was muttering angrily into her phone and a boy that stood no taller than 3 feet, who pulled at his father's hand while pointing to a candy shop across the street. With a sickening pang, Ravenna wondered what it would be like to have such a normal life. She couldn't remember when she'd last had a normal friend, one she hadn't met through their shared profession. She hadn't held a job that didn't require tracking and eliminating targets since she'd been a teenager. Even when I try to escape this life, she thought, it pulls me back in. Are you completely sure you haven't seen her? Ravenna knew her desperation saturated her tone, but she couldn't bring herself to care. Were she in a more rational state of mind, she would have never allowed her control to slip in front of her contact within Luria, one of the few guilds of assassins that hadn't been forcibly disbanded within New York City's borders. Naomi stood with her arms crossed, reclining against a fence post encircling the rundown bar's small yard. Her hair framed her face in a halo of pink that fell to her chin, and her small silver nose ring and navy crop top could have easily belonged to someone who wasn't wanted for murder in 12 states.
I wish I had,
said Naomi.
I haven't seen you this riled up about someone since Roman. I wish I knew how to help you.
Ravenna forced away the instinctive desire to let her hands curl into fists at the mention of her mentor. She let out a quick sigh and shook her head. Damien was everything to me, she said. Nothing will make this go away, but I will make sure the one who took him suffers. In one fluid motion, Ravenna grabbed the blonde woman by the elbow and hauled her into the alley directly to their right. She was unprepared for the fist to the ribs she received in return. The force of the blow knocked Ravenna from her feet and to the ground beneath her. She had only enough time to redirect her landing to her side, narrowly avoiding what would have been a nasty impact between her head and the concrete. She rolled, pushing herself to her feet as she pulled her pistol from her belt. On instinct, she squeezed the trigger and she watched as the plasma bolt sliced through the air toward the woman. Ravenna's target fainted to the side, and the bolt sizzled into the metal siding of the store behind her. Before Ravenna had time to retrain her eyes on the woman, her arm was pinned behind her back. She gritted her teeth against the pain as the woman twisted her wrist.
You're lucky it's not time,
an alto voice hissed into her ear. For what? The woman laughed, and in the second between her arm being released and the woman's disappearance in a blur of motion that could not be human, Ravenna caught sight of bright emerald irises. Not Lila, but who the hell is she?
You know, I think you may be trying too hard, Andrew. I doubt they're paying you overtime.
Andrew's body tensed, stone-like, at the sound of Mia's voice. His gaze slid slowly to the readout above his phone, which told him that all seven of the dots he should have been avoiding were far from the security room at LDE. Apparently, technology could not be trusted. What do you want? He asked, his hand moving reflexively for the gun at his belt. Before his fingers could close around the handle, a grip like iron enclosed his wrist and wrenched it backward until a sickening snap resounded through the security room. Andrew cried out as white-hot agony shot through his wrist, which was no longer within his power to bend. From his chair, he looked up into Mia's sharp, cold face.
I want you,
she began, her tone low and deadly,
to tell Rachel something is coming that you will be powerless to stop. The Division thought it could control my kind and use us as servants. No more.
She dropped his wrist, which still throbbed in splintering pain, and he let out a sharp breath, struggling to keep himself from reacting further, from letting her know that she was winning.
We're coming,
she said.
You'll try to prepare, to anticipate us, but there's nothing you can do.
Her eyes flicked to his phone's display. All at once, the seven dots vanished.
Nothing but burn.
Andrew glanced upward once again, his eyes wide and his chest starting to constrict with panic, but she was gone.
Breathe in, breathe out. You can do that, right? Lila fought to keep her hands still, but they continued to quiver. She held as tightly to the silver cake pan as she could and used her elbow to knock on the door. A beat of silence passed, and then Derek pulled it open, a smile breaking across his lips like light cracking through clouds. Happy birthday, Lila said quickly, her cheeks burning.
Thank you. Please, come in.
Derek took a step back and gestured her over the threshold. She followed him to the kitchen, where she set the cake pan on the white marble counter. Derek glanced from the chocolate icing to Lila's face and didn't quite manage to stifle his laugh.
Did you make this?
Lila's face grew hotter. Desi gave me the recipe. I thought it would be more personal than one from the store. Derek took a step closer and embraced her.
It's perfect.
The moment she spun in the warmth of his arms passed entirely too quickly. He pulled back and went for the drawer beside the sink from which he pulled a large knife. A knock at the front door drew Lila's focus, and she looked up at the same moment she heard Desi call.
Hello?
I brought ice cream from the hallway outside the apartment. Lila refused to move or open her eyes until after she'd gone through all she could recall of the memory. She couldn't risk losing any chance at regaining part of her past, no matter which moment she managed to access. I really was like part of the family, she thought. With a sigh, she sat up and blinked in the light of the morning. Derek's bedroom curtains were drawn, but the light that brushed the carpet beneath him told her she'd slept longer than she'd intended. She stood and retrieved her sweater from the nightstand, pulling it on over her tattered shirt before making her way into the living room. She settled onto one end of the sofa, and she'd only been seated for a few seconds when Derek emerged from the kitchen. He froze when their eyes met. Lila longed for even the ghost of the smile she'd seen the day she'd brought the cake to his door. She supposed, though, that she should be glad he hadn't tossed her out into the street. Morning, she managed past the lump in her throat.
Good morning. Breakfast? I was getting ready to make eggs.
That sounds perfect. Thank you.
The silence following Lila's words was so thick and heavy she half expected it to crush her. She had no idea whether things could ever feel normal between them again, whether something as simple as discussing breakfast could come without strain.
The visitation is tonight,
Derek said at last, his voice just above a whisper.
I'm still not sure having a public funeral afterward is the best idea, but Desi thought it would be a good opportunity to get the media focused on the positives about Damien's life. Not just how it ended. So they'll be giving speeches tonight, and maybe something different at the private service tomorrow, but I don't know.
When are you leaving? I'll be sure to stay quiet. Nobody will know I'm here.
He stared at her. He opened his mouth, his brows drawn and the twist of his lips perplexed. All at once, Lila understood. He hadn't intended to go at all. He had been planning to stay with her, to ensure no one found her.
Derek, you have to go. You have to be there.
He let out a long-suffering sigh.
I can't risk something happening to you, Lila. I would never forgive myself. Maybe I can get there tomorrow.
In a flash, she stood and moved to his side, shaking her head.
I'll be okay here, she insisted. I promise, you need to go, for Damien.
She rested her hand gingerly on his arm, and he blinked, looking down at the point of contact.
Please don't miss this because of me.
Derek swallowed and met her eyes, and his expression softened.
If you're sure, you'll be all right.
Relief crashed over Lila. She'd already taken so much from him that she couldn't bear the thought of doing him any more harm. And if she'd caused him to miss his brother's funeral, she would have hated herself for the rest of her life. I promise, she said.
Leaning over the sink in the first floor women's restroom, Desi focused all her effort on not vomiting. You can do this, she assured herself. You can. You made it through Mom and Dad's service without losing everything you'd eaten, and you can do it tonight. Still, she couldn't stop the racing of her heart, the terrible notion that the floor was falling out from beneath her, or the clamminess of her hands. Her breath was rapid, and if she didn't sit down, she was certain she would fall. Slowly, she crouched, leaning back against the sink and resting her head against her knees as she closed her eyes and fought to stop hyperventilating. Yes, there will be a lot of people here. Yes, that will include family members I haven't seen in years and people whose smiles are as fake as their condolences. But this is for Damien. I can do this for him. She recalled the night he'd come to her at the party, asking to speak with her, and she'd turned him away. She thought of every time he'd been there for her, whether that had meant sitting in the front row during her every collegiate theatrical run, or making her a better-looking, non-scorched omelet when she'd completely butchered her first attempt at cooking, or moving back into their parents' home to watch over her until her 18th birthday. I'm sorry, Damien, she breathed. I'm sorry I wasn't better. She had no idea how long she sat on the floor, but when she heard the murmur of voices outside, she knew the guests had begun to arrive. Pulling in a long breath, she forced herself to stand, face the mirror above the sink, and wipe away the smudges of mascara that had slid down her cheeks. Her black dress reached her elbows and fell to her knees, and when she'd smoothed her dark blonde waves back into place, she doubted anyone would be able to tell that she'd been curled up in the bathroom. I will be better, she said to her reflection, to the brother she hoped could hear her. I will. Desi turned on her heel and started toward the lobby.
Derek sat hunched over his desk. He'd ignored the police line restricting entry into his office. He didn't care that the glass wall had been replaced by poorly assembled temporary panels held together by thick silver tape. His brother's visitation was slated to begin shortly, and it and the public service would be held on the company's first floor, just as Damien had wanted. Would he have written his will differently if he'd known he'd die here? Derek pulled in a long breath through his nose and released it through his mouth. He remembered the first breath Lila had taken. He remembered the pride in Damien's eyes when the android they designed with their best friend had smiled for the first time. He remembered when she'd walked through the front door of his apartment with a birthday cake a few years earlier, and he'd realized just how beautiful she was. The way her golden hair caught the light. How her smile was the most infectious one he'd ever seen. He supposed he'd always known these things, but that day, it was like he'd seen her for the first time. I shouldn't feel this. I shouldn't feel anything for her. Not only did he have footage of Lila shooting his brother through the chest, but he'd created her. He couldn't give in to the urge to let himself love her. Could he? He'd seen a shadow at the back of the security video. He knew someone else had been present the night of his brother's murder. He knew how choppy and forced Lila's movements had been, even as she'd raised the gun, like she'd been fighting herself. Derek couldn't force himself to believe she was truly responsible. There had to be another explanation. If I keep repeating it, maybe I'll believe it eventually.
Derek?
He looked up to find his business partner standing just outside his office door. Beyond the line of tape, Derek had slipped past to reach his desk. Eddie's dark hair was combed back neatly, and his suit was pressed so crisply that he might have been preparing for a wedding and not a funeral.
Are you... I know you aren't all right,
said Eddie.
But is there anything I can do?
Derek shook his head, pushed his chair backward, and stood. Let's just get this over with, he said.
Desi clung to Eddie's hand so tightly she feared her nails would puncture his skin, but she couldn't force her grip to relax. The pastor had nearly finished speaking about how Damien would no longer feel pain, how he would never again suffer, and Desi couldn't keep her thoughts from flitting to the lobby down the hall from the conference room in which everyone sat. Damien's will had technically stipulated that the lobby was where he'd wanted the service to be held. I think he can allow us that small change, considering. When the pastor stepped down from the podium at the head of the room, it was packed from front to back, reporters filling the chairs that acquaintances didn't. Desi cast a sidelong glance at Derek, who sat to her left. He reached out and gave her free hand a quick squeeze before he stood, straightened his tie a bit uncomfortably, and took his place behind the podium while the pastor slid into a chair at its side.
First of all,
Derek began, his voice strained.
Thank you all for being here tonight.
He pulled in a long breath, his shoulders rising, and then released it.
Damien was my oldest friend. He's the only person who I can honestly say has been there for me my entire life. And I don't know how I'm going to function without being able to call him at 4 a.m. to tell him my latest crazy idea.
Derek closed his eyes, his head tipping downward. Desi bit the inside of her cheek hard. She laid a free hand on top of where hers and Eddie's were clasped and leaned against his shoulder, and he traced her knuckles with his thumb. Don't look. Don't do it. She knew Damien's casket was behind Derek, closed for the sake of refusing the reporter's access to him. If she looked, she would crumble.
From the time we were children,
Derek continued,
he was the one I could go to for anything. Moral support when something went wrong, advice about which toaster to buy.
A quiet laugh murmured through the crowd.
I can only hope he looked at me in the same way. I hope that I was half the brother to him that he was to me.
A moment of silence passed, and then Derek stepped down, glancing at the casket on the way back to his seat. Desi felt the soft brush of Eddie's lips against her cheek, and then he released her hand to stand and take the place Derek had just vacated. Turning away from the empty air to her right and hoping Eddie returned quickly. Without him, without someone holding her together, she thought she would shatter into pieces. Desi faced Derek as he sat again. She embraced him tightly, clinging to him and hoping he understood through the contact that he was far more than half the brother Damien had been.
I have been indescribably blessed,
Eddie began,
to have known Damien.
Desi pulled back to watch as he spoke, though she kept a gentle hand on Derek's arm.
When I was 9 and moved to New York, I didn't know a soul there. On my first day of 4th grade, he saw me sitting at the back of the classroom, hiding behind a book, and he asked if I'd like to sit with him at lunch before he even knew my name.
Eddie's voice cracked. The urge to abandon her seat in the front row and take him in her arms swept over Desi. At the same moment, her pulse began to race as she processed that she was the next one slated to speak.
For more than 2 decades, he and Derek have been the best friends I could ask for. Without them, I would be nothing. Without the little boy who offered me a seat at the lunch table on the first day of school, I don't know where I would be. He's the reason I was able to become part of something bigger than myself. The company that means the world to me, and the family it gave me. Thank you, Damien.
By the time Eddie had finished speaking, Desi was fighting to keep her breath even. He returned to his seat and took her hand, helping her to her feet. She attempted to smile, though she knew the expression had fallen flat the moment she made it. Squaring her shoulders and raising her chin, her heels clicking against the polished floor, she strode to the podium. She squeezed the diamond pendant at her neck.
It's going to be fine. You won't mess it up. He would be proud of you, no matter how poor of a job you do anyway.
She swallowed. I was never the perfect sister, she began. In all honesty, I was never even an adequate sister. After our parents passed, Damien did everything he could to make sure I turned out okay. He was always there, just a call away, ready to bail me out of whatever mess I'd caused. Her hands skimmed of their own accord to the sides of the podium, and she clutched it so hard her knuckles went white. It's a funny thing when your brother tries to be your dad. You don't want to listen to him because he isn't, but then it turns out he just has a lot of experience with things you haven't faced yet, like how to apply for colleges and how to persuade the admissions office to read your application when you forgot to send it until a week past the due date. She allowed herself to glance up at the people seated in front of her, at the extended family, her grandparents on both sides, and at the sight of the tears in the eyes of both Derek and Eddie, she could hold back her own no longer. I should have listened to him more. But I appreciate every minute I had with him, and I just wish I'd told him that more often. I miss you, Damien, and I always will. When she managed to convince her fingers to unlatch from the metal in front of her, she started toward her chair. She caught a glimpse of the chrome box drenched in flowers of every color as she passed, the same pansies and pink carnations filling the vase at Damien's house among them, and she hadn't reached her brother and Eddie before the sob wound its way from her lungs.
Derek stood beside his brother's casket, his fingers skimming the petals of white lilies and gladioli. The burial scheduled for the next morning would be a family-only affair, and he hoped he had the chance to see Damien a final time before he was interred.
Mr. Lawrence, could I have a word, please?
Derek sighed inwardly and turned to face the suited woman standing behind him. She held a small, cylindrical recording device, and heat rushed through Derek down to his feet. If it weren't for all of you, we could have opened his casket tonight.
I'm terribly sorry for your loss, but do you have any further statement to give on your brother's case?
His mouth going dry, Derek glanced up at Eddie and Desi where they stood across the room, shaking hands and receiving one-armed hugs. No comment at this time. Thank you. Derek plucked a single lily from the arrangement draping the casket and set off toward his sister.
As the handle of the gun made contact with the junction of her neck and the back of her head, Lila reached out to catch herself on Derek's coffee table. Pain splintered through her skull and white spots flashed through her vision. She looked up into the pointed, enraged face of Damien's fiancé.
I knew he had to be hiding you here,
Ravenna growled. Lila forced herself to her feet and moved as rapidly as her enhanced speed would allow to stand behind Ravenna and twist her arm until she released the gun with a sharp cry. I never wanted to hurt anyone, Lila said. I need you to understand that.
You killed him!
Ravenna whipped her leg backward and knocked Lila's out from under her. As her head swam and her balance faltered, Lila crashed to the floor. She knew she could easily best Ravenna if she allowed herself to try, but she had no intention of harming anyone else, least of all someone whose life she'd ruined. She deserves to avenge him, and I deserve whatever she does to me. As the pain pulsing through Lila's head intensified, the room around her blurred. Lila attempted to lift her hand, but her arm refused even to twitch at her command. Her body was leaden, pressing her down to the cold metal surface she felt beneath her bare arms.
And if it doesn't work, if she remembers afterward?
She won't. You should be more confident by now. Her programming will require her to obey, and then her mind will be wiped.
Lila struggled to open her mouth to address the voices coming from either side of her. The first was male, the second female, but neither her jaw nor her tongue would move. She heard the air shift from her left side in the direction of the male voice, and then a sharp sigh and the clattering of metal against another surface.
This isn't the way to handle it,
said the man.
There are 1,000 other ways to—
No, there aren't.
A gust whipped past Lila behind her head, and the next time the woman spoke, it was from beside where the man's voice had just been.
Do you want him to expose you?
She pressed.
To take everything from you.
I shouldn't be here. When Derek and Eddie had left the visitation, Desi had slipped off into the building while everyone had gone their separate ways. She'd made her way upstairs to Damien's old office and to his computer. She tapped on the projected display before her, sifting through the company's multitude of files and programs to the security footage. Thank God I needed to order a plane ticket last time I was here, if I didn't have his password. She drew in a long breath. I have to know. I need to see what Derek saw, the other person in the video, and they weren't in the shortened clip the cops showed us. If the file exists, I'll find it. After a few tedious minutes of scraping through files, Desi succeeded in locating the video from the time frame the police had said Damien had been killed. 7:25:22:32, 11:15 p.m. She tapped the file's name. A red box popped up on the display. The most recent version of the file 7:25:22:32:11:15 p.m. is unavailable. Desi frowned. I don't know why I expect it any differently, she muttered. Another message followed. File information suggests that the most recent version was edited. Attempt to locate original? She raised an eyebrow and tapped yes. The company's logo appeared on the screen, rotating as the computer loaded. File located. Access is restricted to executive level. Please enter login information. Desi retyped Damien's name and his password, Ravenna23, and another message appeared. Access granted. She swallowed and played the clip. On the screen, the lobby was dark and empty. The only light came from down the hall, toward the lab where androids were designed and modified, and it was muted. A shadow passed in front of the light. This is it. The shadow grew larger and was caught by the street lamps, and Desi's stomach lurched at the sight of the fear in her brother's eyes. Damien dove behind the security desk, surfacing again with a plasma gun in hand. Desi glanced between her brother and Lila, who had just appeared at the back of the room. She too had a gun. Damien shot at the glass doors, but the plasma bolts only ricocheted backward, nearly crashing back into Damien each time he fired. Plasma resistant, breathed Desi.
No!
Screamed someone on the video. One glance toward the source of the voice told Desi that it had been Lila. Damien lay on the ground now, his back against the door. His leg was bleeding profusely just above the knee.
You don't have to do this, Lila,
said Damien. Desi was only vaguely aware of the tears streaming down her face as she watched her brother plead for his life.
You don't have to.
Damien's gaze drifted over Lila's shoulder, towards someone or something in the background.
Just remember who you are. Remember who I...
Lila fired again. Damien lay motionless, slumped against the door.
No.
But Desi knew that no matter how many times she said it, how many times she denied it, wished with every fiber of her being that it wasn't true, the word would not bring her brother back.
What have I done?
Asked Lila. She spun around, aiming the gun at someone the shadows concealed.
What have you done to me? Help him!
She screamed.
You've done your part,
said the person still hidden in shadow.
Deactivate.
The voice was male, low and smooth. That sounds like... No, it doesn't. Desi denied the train of thought that had begun to form and focused on the screen as her pulse pounded. Lila fell to the ground. He was right. Desi thought over and over as her breathing slipped from her control and panic dripped ice cold through her veins. Derek was right. It wasn't her fault. There was silence in the lobby. After a moment, the man stepped forward to pick up Lila from the floor where she had fallen. Desi's breath caught in her throat as the sparse light from the street outside fell across Eddie's face.
Lila stumbled, clutching the back of her head as Derek's coffee table flashed in front of her, replacing the momentary blackness.
That man's voice. I've heard it before.
She attempted to lower herself onto the sofa, but her legs gave way beneath her, and she crashed to the floor, one hand clutching the sofa cushion as the darkness returned.
Do you want to give him that chance? Or do you want to be the one left standing? Damien won't give it a second thought when he realizes what you are. Don't let him win.
Lila heard shifting beside her head, and then cold fingers lifted her eyelid. For an instant, she saw only the bright lights above her. When her eye focused, however, she caught a glimpse of a man with dark hair, a sharp jaw, and his lips set in a frown. He released her eyelid, and it snapped shut, plunging her back into blindness. Lila's scalp screamed as a hand lifted her head from the carpet by her hair.
It wasn't me! It wasn't me, Ravenna!
What the hell do you mean it wasn't you? There's a video of you shooting him!
Ravenna wrenched Lila's head backward, forcing her to look up. Ravenna was scowling, her teeth bared and her nostrils flaring.
You don't have to do this, Lila,
he said.
You don't have to.
He glanced over her shoulder, seeming to rethink the statement he had been about to make.
Just remember who you are. Remember who I...
Lila squeezed the trigger. With a bang, the plasma bolt deployed into Damien's chest. His mouth hung open, prepared to frame words Lila would never hear. Pain creased his brow, and then his facial muscles relaxed, smoothing out as his eyes unfocused. Tears streamed down Lila's cheeks, and she ordered her hands to drop the weapon. Her thumb twitched. She couldn't force herself to move further. Her feet were rooted to the floor. So much blood. She had to help him, had to stop the bleeding. It seeped through his shirt, blooming like a poisonous rose across the pale green cotton.
You've done well,
said Eddie's voice from behind her. He did this to me, to Damien. Her teeth were clenched so tightly she couldn't make her mouth open. He made me kill. He made me. At last, her jaw obeyed her command to move.
What have I done?
She demanded. She managed to turn to face Eddie where he stood just outside the lobby, though her body resisted the motion and her every muscle burned. She pointed the gun at his heart.
What have you done to me? Help him!
She screamed.
You've done your part,
said Eddie.
Deactivate.
The room dissolved before her eyes as she collapsed. Please, Lila implored Ravenna. Let me explain. I remember it all. Ravenna watched her in silence for several moments. She let out a sigh so heavy her body seemed to deflate, and then she released Lila, who doubled over with her hands braced against the carpet as she struggled to catch her breath.
Tell me, now.
Eddie, he reprogrammed me to attack Damien. Silence filled the apartment. When Ravenna did not move closer, Lila pulled herself up onto the sofa, her head spinning.
Why would he do that?
Ravenna snapped.
You expect me to believe you?
I don't know, Lila said, rubbing the back of her head. She said something about making sure Eddie was the one left standing, like Damien was going to come after him.
She?
As Lila replayed the woman's voice in her mind, she found it forming words she hadn't heard in flashes of memory.
I'm you, but better.
An android, said Lila. I don't know her name, but she attacked me at LDE. Said she'd known they should have gotten rid of me. I didn't know who she meant then, but she was there with Eddie when he reprogrammed me. I remember. To Lila's right, the doorknob twisted, and she turned toward the sound as the door opened and Derek entered. He stood on the threshold, wide-eyed, and dropped the lily he'd been holding to the floor.
What?
We need to go,
said Ravenna.
Now.
Lila, are you-
We need to find Eddie, said Lila. He made me do it, Derek. I remember everything.
Desi's heart pounded so rapidly she was sure she was going to throw up. How could I have been so stupid? She muttered. She closed her eyes and worked to still the trembling that had spread throughout her body. She pushed back the desk chair enough to lower her head to rest on her knees as she forced deep breaths into and out of her lungs. He used me. He lied to me and betrayed me. She sat up swiftly and swiped her hand over the desk, knocking holo files and photo scrolls clattering to the floor and wishing she could burn the memory of Eddie's touch from her mind, from her skin. Her stomach twisted as she processed that it was her brother's desk, Damien's desk, she was damaging.
Damn it!
Sobs racked her body and tears spilled down her cheeks as she lowered herself to the floor. She crouched amid the shattered glass, and she bit her inner cheek as she felt a piece nick her knee. Her hands shook so violently that combined with the tears fogging her vision, they obstructed her view of the first photo scroll she plucked from the wreckage. She blinked rapidly to clear away the moisture, and then she realized she held an image of Damien standing between Derek and Eddie in front of the Manhattan LDE building on its opening day. The screen was cracked, a portion of the glass missing from in front of Eddie's shoulder. The image shifted. In its place, Desi's apartment appeared. She sat beside Derek on the sofa, with Damien standing behind them, a hand on each of their shoulders. He beamed up at Desi where she sat on his office floor in her funeral dress. "He's not getting away with this. Not while I'm still breathing." Desi fought against her sobs and struggled to pull her rapid pulse back under her control. With one hand, she ripped the silver chain from her neck, ignoring the searing pain as it snapped and tossed it across the floor. The diamond clicked on contact with the hardwood and then skittered beneath the bookcase and out of sight. She reached up, her fingers skimming along the surface of the desk until they reached her phone. She pulled it closer, and when it fell off the desk into the floor, she closed her eyes and inhaled. "Stop shaking. Pull it together." When she'd managed to hold still enough to place her thumb flat against the screen, she mentally ordered the phone to call Eddie. He answered on the second ring.
"Desi, is everything okay?"
She swallowed hard and forced down the bile rising in her throat. "I tried to hold it together after the service," she said, "but I can't. I need to see you."
"Where are you? I'm working, but I can—"
"I'll come to you. Where are you?"
"The LDE warehouse on 5th Street. It's a mess here. You don't need—"
"I'm on my way,"